I was just talking a little shit before you came on.
She liked you.
You were great. He's fine. I don't know. I mean, he seems fine too, but I was talking about the like abject failure of trying to make comedy out of describing a meme on an audio format. It's just like,
it's tough.
Well, that's the funniest form of a meme.
It's a big lift to explain the joke.
Yeah.
While no one is looking at it.
Yeah.
I think it brings that to life for everybody. It's beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. So we've got about 50 of your memes that we're going to go through, and I'll read them and then you explain them.
Right.
Perfect. I'm going to act them out, and one of you has to actually guess which one I'm trying to describe.
Fair. New charades. That's fair. Really good idea.
Lori, where have you traveled to since the last time we spoke? Have you gone to any?
I went to Gainesville, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Last week, spent the weekend in Gainesville, Florida. Spent some time in the local arcade, which is called Bragging Rights. Is that really what it's called? Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a really smart, I'm always like, look at these business models in Gainesville. And I'm like, how could we do this in New York? And the answer is we can't, or it would have to be like 9 times as expensive. But you pay one price when you go in. It was supposed to be 25, but I'll say that the guy only charged us like $12.50 per person. You pay one price.
Do you get the AARP discount?
Probably. And then you can just play all the games. Like they are, you know, unlocked. So there's no quarters. There's no.
What's your favorite game?
Nothing. You know what game I really killed? I think it was designed for like the 3 to 5 year old crowd, and it was a giant piano. And you had to, and it had 4 keys, and it would show you the color, the key. There's so, you know, it was basically Simon, the game of Simon, only on a video. So I crushed that.
My daughters crush that. They crush that when we're down in Cape May. That's exactly they.
It was Dance Revolution pre-verbal set. I did a couple of driving games that I was pretty bad at, but, also really fun. And every 5 seconds, the voice would go, yank the crank, which was like, no one in this arcade full of 15-year-old boys needs that advice. They are all on board with yank the crank.
I don't know. I think for some of us who grew up in an evangelical household,
sure,
right?
you need a little
or
help.
Religious of any type,
right? State of Florida is trying to get them to not touch the crank. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't touch the crank. Now, is it yank the crank? Is that what it is?
Yank the crank. Yeah.
And what does that mean?
So when you yank the crank, because you have a steering wheel and you have a gas pedal, and I suppose there's a brake, although it seemed brand new.
Sure, nobody ever
used that. But then there was a crank.
Not a lot of kids yanking
not
cranks.
Not really braking. That's not really. Fair. Slowing down into the turns. So when you yank the crank, I don't know, like your truck shoots Scud missiles. it's not the most like up to date. It's got Wolf Blitzer in the background talking about. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an arcade full of games that have been obviously taken from failing Pizza Huts across the lower 48 and put into this giant room. And I'm pretty sure that's where I got sick because it was.
That'll do it. Touch all those cranks.
Not a super clean.
Yank all those cranks, you're going to get something.
They had a Phantom of the Opera pinball machine, which is like also unpopular. Yeah.
Wait, break it down. Is this old timey, like the novel Phantom of the Opera? Was it Broadway show?
I think it predated the Broadway show because it was like this copyright, you know, an intellectual property of, you know, Phantom of the Opera, copyright 1911. So, I mean, it's in the public domain now along with Steamboat Willie. But I don't know.
They're the same thing.
No one played it. I didn't play it. I was like,
I think that's a mess. Hey, speaking of Phantom of the Opera, I had a Christine in my house.
I did.
Wow. Okay.
I've never seen Phantom of the Opera.
For all my Andrew Lloyd Webber fans. Do I follow him on Instagram? Sure. Do I follow him on Twitter? Yes. Do I keep trying to have him connect with me as a friend on LinkedIn? I do because he's on LinkedIn and that's all I want. It's all I want.
You want that in your life?
Oh, absolutely. Andrew Lloyd Webber? Of course I do.
Okay. What's a Christine?
A Christine is the female lead in the musical Phantom of the Opera.
Okay. And?
And one of them that played her for years on Broadway was at my house on Friday because she's my son's voice teacher.
Amazing.
And so we were going through, like, where's he going to go to college? She gives advice, like, here's how to get into the musical theater programs. Here's how to get an acting program. So we did all that. Uh-huh. So we were both, visited by the Phantom.
Fill my head with thoughts of summertime.
You said you didn't know. You said you didn't know.
I don't know. Let's get our guest
in here. Eli, get in here. We'll introduce you in a second, but how big of a fan, 0 to 10, 0 to 5 billion, are you a fan of Phantom of the Opera?
That's for you.
Zero.
What?
I have never seen it in any version, live or otherwise. Mm. I couldn't tell you the first thing about it, I'm sorry to say.
That's okay. We don't all live rich lives. It's fine.
Your guest score has just skyrocketed.
But what I will say is that I am a huge musical theater fan. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. Favorite musical. Let's go.
I think that's an impossibility. It's favorites. Hard to say. The last one that I saw Shucked most recently.
Yeah, did you love it?
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. I saw it with the person that won the Tony for the award for the role.
Yes.
And I laughed. It was a hilarious show and the singing was generally wonderful. I thought it was great. Probably the best show that I've seen in the last 5 years was Groundhog Day, which ran for 1 year and was spectacular. And then the person who starred in it broke his leg in the role. And they decided to they didn't recast it. They didn't keep it going.
The leg or the roll. That was a great pun. Okay. Got it.
But I love Broadway. I love Broadway. I guess I need to dive back into the classics.
I don't think you have to.
Chicago, et cetera. Oh, that's pretty good. I haven't seen the heavy hitters really.
Yeah. I think heavy hitters they're heavy hitters for a reason. Doesn't mean they have to be for you.
Did you see Hamilton?
Totally.
I did.
I did not enjoy Hamilton.
Interesting. Okay.
It's not 100% my thing. It was my family's thing.
I found
thing.
It to be just overrated. I think I came in and it was just the hottest thing in the entire world. And I had very high expectations. And I thought it was a very solid fine.
Yeah.
I thought it was a 7 out of 10.
All right.
But it didn't captivate me in the way that it did the rest of the world. I think I'm like a rent, whatever you call it. Like my sort of white whale of Broadway is Rent. Like I've seen it live a couple times. I think it's incredible music and story. And so that would be the one that I would I know the words to that. I would see it if there was a revival. Like that to me is the one that holds a special place in my heart. Hamilton didn't really do that for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful though? A show for every soul, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And what you like doesn't have to be what anybody else likes. Lori, what's your favorite show?
And thank you for asking because I couldn't wait to say it. Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't understand why that's not permanently installed on Broadway.
Hey, Lori, do you want to introduce our guest?
Yes, God, we're so sorry. Our guest is sitting here
He's fine.
Fucking introduce us.
Read the episode description. You
all
know
right,
who
everybody
it
knows it. It's Eli Sussman.
Yeah.
Welcome, Eli Sussman. Thank you for coming.
Hi.
Hello.
Of course, happy to be here.
Thanks for taking time out of your actual job to
you're working.
Talk with us.
You're here working, you're wearing one of those cool aprons, the and aprons.
Do you have an apron on right now? Do you like them? I actually prefer another brand more.
Don't say
White Bark Workwear.
Do say them. I was just trying to get you free aprons. It's fine.
No, I actually wear a specific style of apron, which is a crossback apron, because I have a bad back. Oh. And so the rental aprons, they go around the back of your neck and they tend to tug down, and it makes you actually hunch over subconsciously. Yeah. You actually arch your body over. So now that I am getting older, yeah, I need to start taking a little bit better care of myself. So I wear these nicer crossback aprons, and you know what? It helps. It wow. either helps because I think it helps, or maybe it actually does, but yeah, I swear by them now.
Okay. All right. Say the name again.
It's a crossback apron.
Yeah. Brand.
White Bark Workwear.
White Bark Workwear. That's kind of a tongue twister. It's pretty good.
White Bark Workwear.
Yeah. They're out of California. They're made out of hemp. They're ethically made. It makes me feel a little bit better about myself.
Anything. We'll take it wherever we can get it.
Small stuff, you know?
What are you making today? Which restaurant location are you in?
I'm at Gertrude's today, so I'm in Prospect Heights. And today already I've got fennel caramelizing. The brisket is braising. Yes. There's grape tomatoes doing a confit. They're taking a quick swim in an olive oil hot sauna bath. And then we're working the trout sauce for the fish right now. And then I stepped in the office, and now I'm talking about Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, that's primarily. Correct. That's correct. That's how this podcast goes.
Yeah.
Lori, if you were to be consumed, what cooking method would you want to go? I'm going to go first. I would love to be comfy. Like, that sounds great. Just chilling out in a warm olive oil bath. Wouldn't that be nice?
Sounds painful. I don't know.
Well, sure. I mean, you're going to die.
That one sounds rough to me. Yeah. I think I would, I would take freeze-dried ice cream. That seems instantaneous. Wow. You're cold for 1 second and then you're gone. I'm not really looking to be boiled alive in olive oil.
Fair. This is oddly, fair feedback.
Yeah. I'm in the same camp as Eli. I'm like, how can I minimize my suffering? So I would like to be first. I'd like to get the whatever the anesthesia that you get when you're getting anesthesia. I don't know. There's different varieties. The one that just makes you fall asleep within like 10 seconds. And then I could be happily frozen also, I think would be the way to go.
Okay.
I don't want heat applied to my skin.
Well, maybe this is coming down to a problem that I have in my marriage. And apparently this podcast is about me airing problems in my marriage. I'm definitely getting old, because now I used to, when I get into bed, it didn't matter how cold it was. I was like, my body is running so hot anyways, like, this is great. I'm glad to be in a cold bed. This is wonderful. I'm now to the point where I'm like, I can't get into the sheets because they're so cold. I can't do it. So I put, an electric blanket throw. So it's not very big, because I didn't want it to like bother my wife or anything. And so I just have it on my side, and she discovered that she really likes it, even though she was like, don't get that near me. I'm already hot enough, going through a particular time in life where like she's just hot. Right. So she's like, get it away from me. I don't want it. It's so fucking hot in here. Why do you fucking need it? Okay. So I'm feeling hurt. I felt hurt naming my feelings. I was like, that's fine. Now it's just mine. It is being pulled off of my body at night and onto her body. So all I want in life is to have my own heat right now. Like, I just want to be warm. That's all I want. So that's why I was going towards the comfy.
Okay.
And I bought her an electric blanket.
Her own arrives house.
Today. She'll be happier. She'll be so much happier. She gets her own blanket. She gets her own throw tonight. She doesn't know. It's very exciting.
Wow. Okay.
Very exciting. I'll report back.
Have you tried to turn the heat up in your house?
Yes, I have.
Okay. All right. That's all I've got I have, from the suggestion.
No, I really appreciate it. Appreciate it. It's just that part of the house, and I don't know why. Like, we had the insulation redone up above. Anyway, it's not going to get warmer.
I can't wait till Karen gets the podcast in the divorce.
Oh my wife.
It's going to be a whole different.
Oh, she loves this podcast. She listens to every episode. She loves it so much. She's like, oh, can't get enough of Lori and her happy attitude. That's what she tells me.
Chicks love me. Chicks dig me. Man. All right. So before we move on to our tightly structured programmatic material, I just want to, Eli, and listening to a couple of podcasts that you've done recently, just so we could get to know a little bit more about you apart from, because I feel like what I know about you is that you make memes, right? And we were discussing, you stay home and make memes.
Only do memes. Yeah. Just memes. Exactly. No food. Just memes.
Nope.
I'm getting a call. I'm going to ignore it. Okay.
So are you sure?
I don't know. It seems bullshit. If it's from my son's school, I don't know. No, somebody else will handle it.
Hang up. Maybe they heard the diss track.
They're like, we found the diss track. all right. Here's a list of things that I know about Eli after listening to some podcasts. He doesn't eat dairy. He's an old dude. That's a quote. I'm an old dude. He lives in New Jersey, ? I don't know. I was doing context clues based on driving. Okay, that's wrong. You sometimes get internal and external pressure in your DMs to respond to every single scandal in the industry via meme. And sometimes you're like, you know what? I don't have a dog in that fight. I'm busy. Go fuck yourself. And that is also not a quote. It sometimes finds that food media's breathless coverage of $10 million Midtown dining rooms is stupid. And that's it. Those are all the things that I've learned. And then I do have a few questions. And
you've nailed it. You've summed me up perfectly, except that I do live in Brooklyn.
Okay. Yeah, there was some talk about driving. And again, it was from 2021. So who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe you were, I don't know, but it sounded like you were crossing the West Side.
I do have a license and a vehicle, so that is semi-factual, but I was probably talking about driving to Midtown,
right?
Like crossing a bridge of some kind.
Yeah. Okay.
So you couldn't tell by the very small beanie that I live in Brooklyn.
I guess I was pretty sure.
No one's going to be able to see me, but you know.
Yeah, he's wearing a beanie. I wasn't going to call it out. I just focused on the apron, but yeah, there's a beanie.
that's on me.
So I haven't been to your I haven't been to Gertrude's, but I have been to your Rock Center restaurant. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that is our second location of Semisa. We unfortunately closed the original location due to COVID, a landlord dispute, as many had. And while we desperately tried to hold on to the space and figure things out, we couldn't. So Rock Center was supposed to be our second location. It became the second first location of Semisa, which is a Mediterranean fast casual concept that I opened with my brother, Max.
Yeah.
And it's been in Rock Center for 3 years now.
And it's really fucking good. So
thank you.
I work right across the street, so it's really nice when I'm in the office to know that I can get a phenomenal lunch. And it's so good. And sometimes if I'm nice, I buy lunch for my CFO, which is also fun. That's also fun. Why restaurants? Why food? Ooh.
That's you know, I would say a recent development in my life, which is that I did have a job right out of college that was not food oriented, and I made the big career switch, like so many people do, which is I became sort of disillusioned with my desk job and I wanted a change. My brother was a cook in New York City and he convinced me to come and crash on his floor and give it a shot. And I had always been passionate about food and cooking from a home cook standpoint. And I wanted to try to do the real thing, work at a restaurant, be a line cook. And I instantly knew that it was the right decision when I started my first day as a prep cook. I knew that it was what I wanted to do. But my only regret is that I didn't, you know, start doing it sooner. But it's nice to figure out the thing that you love early enough. I'm now 13 years into cooking professionally, and it's immensely satisfying from a creativity standpoint. And also I like doing things where you get instant completion gratification, and cooking is really, it really checks that box for me. So like you start off with ingredients and you end up with a dish. You start off the day with a prep list and you get to cross it off. Like there's so many things that you get to accomplish. There aren't always, you know, singular projects like that. But for me, that is one of the things that keeps me coming back. I get to work with my hands and it's a creative job.
So I know a couple of people who are middle-aged, I would say, happen to be men, who are not in the food world, but who have for a long time fantasized about leaving their stable, normal careers and opening restaurants or getting into the food business. What kind of advice would you give, say, a man on the cusp of 50 who has a successful career in banking, or another man on the cusp of 50 who is a well-loved and respected middle school teacher? What would you say to them about their desire to get into the restaurant business?
Well, I would tell both of them no, because I would think, I do think at this point, the ship has sailed for someone who's 50. You know, like, so I'm 38. And so I did this at a time when like my body was physically able to take on the long hours. And, you know, I come from a privileged background. So I emerged from college with zero debt. My parents paid for me to go to college, and I got a good job out of school that had healthcare, and I had a salary with benefits, right? So I was able to decide before moving to New York about, let's call it a year, maybe even more, before I planned on moving. I said, all right, I got to hunker down. I got to save money because I'm going to start doing this job that pays very, very little. So I moved to New York with no debt and a good amount of cash in my bank account, which for a line cook is a true rare.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. Never.
Right. So my ability to have squirreled away cash in order to prepare for this job, that really set me up with the ability to succeed. Whereas most people are like, they are a line cook by circumstance because it is a job that, for whatever reason, they're in the food industry because it is a job that is available to people that might not have an education or a degree or the ability to pursue other jobs. So I think all of those things contributed to my ability to succeed, and that gave me a real leg up, whereas other people just don't have those opportunities.
And if you're somebody, and I think I know not to open a restaurant, but I'm definitely over 50. So you're saying it's like get rid of all the things that had set you up for success and allowed you to make some choices. Forget all that. Like at 50, it's such hard work that it's probably not worth it.
So physically demanding.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it can't be done, but if this is if there are people out there that are saying, oh, I really want to open up a restaurant because I like cooking, I would say there's a bunch of other ways to scratch that itch. Yeah. You know, do it at home, do it recreationally, try to start a side business. Cool. If you say, oh, I'd love to operate a business, I would say invest in a restaurant. It's a lower lift. If you have the money to do so, you can still sort of play restaurant and show up there and be involved. And then if you really truly want to start a restaurant business and you have the funds to do so, I would say no, because there's a bunch of other ways where you can either make money or light money on fire that are much easier and much more fun.
Great advice.
Sports betting. What are the top three ways to light money on fire? I'm going to say sports betting.
For sure.
Investing in the new social media platform that's going to change everything.
Sure.
Or media in general, just investing in media in general.
Oh, yeah, you could buy a newspaper.
NFTs were a fun way to do somebody.
Go get all those fun gorillas.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Honestly, cocaine is a tremendously fun way to lose a lot of money.
Let us talk about some of the best and the worst things that we have eaten recently. And let us let our guest go first and also decide if he's going to go Posi or Negi.
Yeah, you decide.
Yeah, I'll go positive first.
All right.
You know, I thought this one would be interesting to bring up because there's this restaurant near my work and near my house, and it is called Five Spice Banh Mi. It's at, it's on Fifth Ave. It's in Park Slope, maybe at that juncture, I think. Yeah. There's nothing really like dynamic about it. I'm not saying that everyone needs to rush out and eat there. It's just like a neighborhood spot. People go there for lunch. And you know, a couple of days ago, it was so, so cold. Mm. It was like it felt like it was 12 degrees outside or whatever. And I woke up, and you know, when you wake up and you just have a craving, and you're like, I must get this item in order to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. I wanted pho, and that's the closest place to my work and to my house to get it. And I went and I sat down and I had it and I finished it. And I was like, that was exactly what I wanted to eat. Yeah. And it was so immensely satisfying. Was it the best thing I've eaten this year even? Yes. Probably not. No. Like it was perfect in that moment. And I have really bad lunchtime anxiety. I don't know if either of you have this, but like when I have a day off and I'm trying to figure out what I should eat, it is a soul crushing experience.
Wow.
And so I just felt like I nailed that one. So it was great.
Wow.
Good job. Good job.
Thanks.
Proud of you.
Thank you. Did it.
Lori.
All right. I'm looking at my list. I'm trying to narrow it down a little bit. I don't want to be a dick and say all the things. All right.
Good or bad?
No, there. I've got a bunch of good things and I've got a bunch of bad things, of course. All right. I'm going to choose one. So the other day, my son came home from his friend's house and the mom of the friend said, oh, I sent a gift home with you, with your son for you. It's from our favorite store in Saratoga, New York. And I was like, oh, I'm intrigued. And it was a jar of honey, which was like, I was like, great. I don't have any honey. I have a cold. I want some honey.
Yeah.
And I saw that the label on the jar said mango infused. God. And my cuntiest self at first was like, what kind of Bath and Body Works shit is this? Like, you know, anytime you're like gilding the lily like that, I'm a little bit like, I'm extremely skeptical. You know, I'm like, oh, mango infused honey, you know, like such a bitch, looking the gift horse directly in the mouth. And then I tasted some. This shit is so good. It is so good. I had like a large tablespoon of it just straight from the spoon into the mouth. And I've been mixing it into my my tea. Yeah, I mean, it's like, why wouldn't that be delicious? It's like mango haichu, only it's honey. Mm. Yeah, so I'm a huge bitch. And this mango infused honey from Saratoga something something is very delicious. Yeah.
That's nice.
You just held up a mango haichu, an individually wrapped mango haichu.
I did.
You're lucky. I can't keep them in the house because I just eat them all at once.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a you problem.
Yeah, it is. All right. What's yours?
I didn't have any big winners this week. But I do want to highlight what I did for breakfast yesterday. Now, this is a Food Network personality where I got the recipe, but I had the idea of I want this. Right. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to name it so we don't have to start a fight about anything.
About the person?
Yes. Because it's not someone you like.
Oh, okay.
So just know that. Right. The recipe worked out great. How could it not? It involves puff pastry.
Okay.
I was like, I make pumpkin pancakes every Sunday, almost every Sunday, to the point where I'm very good at the pumpkin pancakes.
Obviously.
I'm very good. Do I make a peanut butter pancake for myself? Peanut butter pumpkin pancake with bacon for myself? Yes, I do. It's very good.
Oh my God. Sponsored by Imodium.
What? No, you're plugged up all day. That's no Imodium. You're good. You're good. You're solid. And you got tons of carbs and protein. It's wonderful. Wow.
Okay.
But I have come to loathe the pumpkin pancakes, but I don't really, I just need a break. So I was like, I need to do something with this puff pastry I have in the freezer from Trader Joe's. Is it good puff pastry? No, it's fine. It's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. So I did bacon, egg and cheese puff pastry.
Delicious.
With everything bagel seasoning. There's nothing wrong with that. You can't fight me on no, that. It was great.
That is
very
that
solid.
Seems like a very solid it's breakfast solid. Choice.
Can you say the name of the Food Network person and you'll bleep it out?
Yeah. Ugh. I know. family friend, remember that family friend.
I couldn't remember. I was like, who do I hate? And then I was like, who don't I hate?
That's well, yeah.
You're like, oh, it was a collaboration between all of the Food Network personalities at the same time.
I mean, I've got no beef with anyone. I just don't watch it. I just don't care.
Oh, I don't watch it. Who watches it? No one watches it.
I put on the first season of America's Worst Cooks for my son, and he was like riveted, which I think there's something about the Food Network current zeitgeist which really appeals to a stone 15-year-old.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Buying power is huge.
Yes. All right. So let's go on to what's the worst or one of the worst things that you've eaten recently. Eli, you're up.
Yeah, this one's easy for me. I went to a restaurant that shan't be named that should know better. And they delivered a burger with fries to the table, a very upscale restaurant that offers a fancy hamburger. And the fries were both undercooked and inedibly seasoned with salt. And I really am being honest. I do not do this. I asked for new fries. Wow. I've sent them back.
That's
and
reasonable. I have like
a very, very high threshold for bullshit at a dining table. And I said, like, we can't eat these. These are way, way, way too salty. It was like they actually fell into a box of salt.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that was really annoying and disappointing. And also it took a long time to get the fries back out.
Mm. Well, they had to cook them this time.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. They decided to cook them this time. It's a small thing, you know, it's just, you know, when you want a burger and fries, you kind of want to eat them at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Did they take it off the check?
No.
Oh, I mean, you got the thing. So that's one thing, but
all right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, was that the first time you've ever sent food back in a restaurant?
It can't possibly be. No. I'm sure that I have before, but I do it so rarely.
Yeah.
You know, I am a big advocate of the, they're having an off day.
Yeah.
Everybody has an off day.
Of course.
Sometimes things aren't working, you know? So I'll sort of eat through it. And then at the end, I will just be disappointed in the privacy of my own Uber or home or Subway, you know?
If you ever have that instance, if you're in the kitchen and somebody sends food back, like what's the right way for a customer to handle it? Like what, I mean, there's something that's truly wrong and you can see like, oh, you know, we made a mistake here. How do you want them? Do you want them to take one bite and send it back? Will you comp the check? Like what's your sort of best practices?
Yeah. I'm the opposite on the other side, which is that I am totally fine with anyone sending anything back for any reason and I will remake it. And if it is a mistake on our end that can't be fixed in a reasonable time frame, we're definitely comping that. Mm-hmm. So I don't care if anyone gives me any leeway whatsoever. If you don't like it, I want to know immediately because the actual other option there is that they leave and write a negative review, which is
for sure
10 times worse than them having a negative experience for a 20-minute period inside the restaurant. So, you know, a normal thing to get sent back would be, oh, this was too salty, acidic, undercooked. I want it more or less. That's an easy fix. But something coming back and somebody saying, the services, they didn't like it. They said they didn't like it. Well, that's not really helpful to me because I live and die by people giving hopefully positive, but feedback on the food so that I can decide whether or not it stays on the menu. So the idea that someone could not want to engage with a certain dish and then I have no idea or they haven't given any type of reasoning behind it, that is just, that's really frustrating. I'd rather they hate it than they think it's fine.
Yeah. And then you get the like lukewarm 3.5 Yelp review or whatever. It just wasn't for me. Okay. Thank you for that. All right. I'm going to give my worst thing.
Wait, can I go back? Eli, they should come with hostility though, right? You're asking for anger and hostility in their voice. Is that correct?
Oh, of course. I'm asking for a scene to be made.
Okay.
Cause that's how you go viral.
And then we should also take it as you were trying to personally offend me.
I want them to actually come back into the kitchen with their own plate of food, just circumvent the server entirely and just sort of just while maintaining eye contact, turn it over at the pass and be like, what the fuck is this shit? Just slowly, slowly just pour it out of the bowl onto all the other live tickets on my rail.
Absolutely.
Just like, what is this swill that you've decided to send to my table?
Got it. So just like a super chill interaction. Got it. That's fine. Thank you.
Very normal.
All right, Lori.
Good. All right. So my next one is, it's not so much something that I ate, but something that I wanted to eat, but that I knew I was not supposed to eat. And I didn't. And it just happened this morning. And I have a whole list of other ones. I'm going to very quickly go through my
quick hits. Go.
Chicken noodle soup at the Delta Club. Egg puck at the Delta Club. Frozen nerds from the freezer. Ooh. Hot oatmeal with cold fat-free yogurt. I didn't eat that. My boyfriend did. I was like, what are you doing? Hot oatmeal, cold yogurt. Mix it together. Now everybody loses. separated, not properly shaken Walgreens brand Pepto-Bismol. Made me feel worse than I did before I took it. Those are all the things that I didn't like. But this morning I was doing laundry and I got a whiff of that Tide and I was like, I know we are not supposed to eat Tide Pods and I'm not going to. But God damn it, if this Tide detergent doesn't smell like the most delicious cherry candy I've ever had in my life, why does it smell so good? I really want to taste this. I didn't do it, but I feel like Tide, if they really want people to not ingest their product, they need to make it smell differently. It smells like the ideal, like the cherry lollipop I got in kindergarten when I went to my first ever school Valentine's Day party. And I was like, this is school? And we're having these cherry lollipops? This is incredible. Anyway.
I didn't eat the Tide.
Yet. My stuff is still in the dryer. So I got another go down at the, in the laundry room. So we'll see what happens this afternoon. But.
Like, do you do your laundry? Like, you have so much laundry. Like, is a laundry service like a huge, huge deal for a restaurant? Feels like it's like massive. No, go ahead, Lori.
I thought you were talking to me. I didn't hear the part you said to Eli.
I'm no longer talking to Eli. I'm talking to you.
Sorry.
Do you think restaurants, like, is that a big deal for them, laundry service? They're not doing that in-house, are they, Lori?
Shut up.
Okay. Eli, for your restaurant, like, it's a big deal, right?
Or not. You have to use a company.
You do.
Yeah. It's the volume is
just huge.
Too high.
Okay.
I don't imagine really anyone does it themselves. Because then you would have to either take it to a laundromat or you'd have to have an industrial washer and dryer on site, which I've never heard of.
Wouldn't that be
unless
wild?
You're in a hotel.
Well,
obviously,
sure,
if you're in a hotel, then it's
else.
Being done there, right? But we send everything
Everything
out.
Goes out.
We use in a sort of an egregious amount of aprons and towels.
How many days worth are you renting out from them? Like, how often do they come?
They come weekly.
Okay.
And often we've run out of towels before the week is over, which is a great source of anxiety for everyone involved. And then you're just like rationing out towels for a couple of days, kitchen towels and bar towels. But yeah, we go through a lot. There's nothing more. I don't know if there's anything more wasteful than a restaurant. what is more wasteful than a restaurant? You know,
I think there's probably industrial mining is probably more wasteful.
Okay. We'll give them that.
I think you're safe.
Yeah.
Individually good. Packaged haichus.
Do you know what, Maury? They'd stick together. So fuck off.
What does it smell like? So it's August. It's day 6 of before the laundry guy comes, and you've got plastic bags full of aprons and towels and tablecloths and fucking who knows what else, chef shirts. What does that smell like when you stick your head in that plastic bag?
Do you do that a lot? You know,
the basement of a restaurant is too many, just truly hell on earth. Mm. You've just got all of the smells, right? You're talking about smells from the dish pit. You've got that bag of rags, which is just soaking. Mm. And then you're sweaty and everything's hot. It's the happiest place that I could possibly be.
Sure.
Our basement at Gertrude stays, it's an extreme basement. So it is either so hot or so cold. There's no middle ground. Mm. So currently everybody wears coats and winter hats.
Do you want any throw blankets? I got a good link for you if you need that.
I would love just to wrap myself in an electric blanket the entire time.
Not dangerous.
And in summer, it was over 100 degrees in the basement every day.
Wow.
Have you thought of, and just to ask you the question you asked me, have you thought of heating it? Or turning up the heat?
You know what's crazy? So it is heated, but we have a huge hatch that the deliveries come in and out of that is not insulated. Yeah. And so everything just rushes out of there the second you open up the hatch. Mm. So we have space heaters. There's actually the boiler for the building is here. And so there's resonant heat from that.
Oh,
and it's
my
just
God.
Like it, the room does not stay hot. Yeah. It's crazy.
Have you ever found tens of thousands of dollars stuffed into the tomato cans, like on season one of The Bear? Like, is that common?
What a dream that would be.
Sure.
I hope that happens for you. Settle for at the end of the year, finding $100 of profit.
Take
that would be an ideal scenario.
I hope it's not in a tomato can.
I currently am looking at a huge wall of coasters, postcards, matchsticks. And I unfortunately am positive that there's no money in any of that.
Well,
it's just paper goods.
Here's hoping Carmi comes through for you. That's all we can hope for.
That would be fantastic.
If you had to trade one loved one to a death by addiction and suicide in order for $10,000, who would it be?
Sure.
Sorry.
Spoiler for The Bear. This whole segment, spoiler for The Bear.
Yeah.
I guess it's my turn.
Yeah. Say something that you didn't enjoy eating.
So I want to be very nice to this place. So I will not name them. I live in a very small New Jersey town. We got a very cool bakery. Guy's worked with a Michelin star chef, blah, blah, blah. Like all of his stuff is gorgeous. We got some blackout cake. We've got lots of beautiful muffins and puff pastry things, which I think I've made clear I'm a fan of. Beautiful pies. My wife came home. She calls me. I'm out driving. She goes, I got you dessert. I'm like, amazing. From this place. And all their stuff is so good. I open it up. She got me crumb cake. I love crumb cake.
Yeah.
I love crumb cake. It's as big as my head and I have a giant fucking head. So it's just this huge chunk of crumb cake. I dig into it and it's got the thinnest layer of crumb on top.
Mm.
Like the thin, like baby crumbs.
Stingy.
Just like the bottom of a potato chip bag crumb, just that's it. Dusting.
Yeah. Disappointing.
That's a morally incorrect crumb cake. Is that right? Yeah. Am I right? Like, I'm not an expert in crumb cake.
Yeah.
I'd love for the two of you to say it's gotta be
half an inch easy.
Easy.
Yeah. The ideal platonic ideal is Entenmann's like Louisiana crunch cake or Entenmann's crumb cake. with it's got a soaking wet layer of crunchy crumbs that pull your fillings out.
Yeah.
Did it taste good? Of course it is. Crumb cake. It's going to taste good. Just,
well, Jean-George, if you're listening, you have really disappointed Chris.
It's not Jean-George.
Sure.
You should swing by. This is a neighborhood staple. You got to let them know. You got to give them the feedback.
Should I take it back in?
Direct on contact.
Talk me through it. What do I say? What would make you change your recipe?
You'd say I'm a bit of a crumb cake aficionado.
And I've spoken to some. Aficionados.
I happen to be one of your biggest customers, and I just wanted to provide some feedback.
Okay, do I turn the box upside down?
You say I ate the whole thing, but I did it begrudgingly, and here I am to give you a piece of my mind.
And you say I love you and I support you, and I'm so glad you're here, and I only want good things for you.
But
I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here, but I sure am disappointed in the depth of your crumb.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Oh, all right. Man.
That was it. That's the worst thing that happened. What can I really complain about? It was crumb cake.
Yeah. It's not good week.
Yeah. You haven't had any real misfires with thekitchen.com lately.
No, thekitchen.com is off my list for now. So good for them. I'm really happy for them that they got off that list. Mm-hmm. I made a sheet pan gnocchi that was okay. Doing a lot of sheet pans. You do a lot of sheet pans in your restaurant, Eli? Lots of sheet pan dinners?
It's not something that we're the really sheet pan concept right now. Okay.
It's not what you're focused on at
not,
this time.
No, not right now.
Just like a giant fucking cookie sheet comes out.
Baked noodle cracker sheet tray, whatever that phrase was. Like I'm baking noodles till they're really, really crunchy and then dipping them and stuff. That was a thing. Yeah.
That was a thing. It sure was a thing.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That one went over my head.
The baked pasta, right? Baked pasta. And then it comes out and you do the marinara dip.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Lori, people were doing it.
Hate it.
Shall we let our chef get back to work?
I think so. I think we have done enough damage here to everyone's reputation and general well-being. Thank you so much, Eli, for talking to us. This was really fun.
And thanks for having me. Yeah.
We will. I don't know. We will. I was going to say, I was going to offer something positive. But
we can't do anything for you. We can't do nothing.
We will try not to harm you.
I'll keep getting lunch.
Yeah, like as long as you don't leave a 3.5 star review, that's all I can nothing really ask for. Nothing but fives
and 25% tip, because I feel like you know me, even though I know you don't. Feel like if I walk in there, you're going to be like, how much did he tip? Do you check how much people tip?
Never.
Really?
Never, ever, ever. I'm not a big like flip the iPad, make you feel guilty type of vibe. No, I mean,
I think I would absolutely be vindictive that way.
I have a general expectation at a sit down restaurant that people should tip 20%.
Yeah.
I have different feelings at a fast casual restaurant, but I think that if you can afford a $17 sandwich, you can afford a $2 tip.
100%.
So, yeah.
That's
100%.
I don't think you need to tip $5 on a $17 sandwich, but I think it is weird to, you know, in my current line of work, to have a person who makes $100,000 a year say that a $13 or $14 lunch is expensive and then not tip, and then probably later that night go get a $400 sushi meal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That I have a bit of a problem with.
Can I also say your serving sizes are huge at lunch?
Yeah.
It's huge.
There are certain things
you're taking stuff.
Look, people will be people, right? Everyone can find problems with everything, but I generally think that people could, I'll close with this, that people could generally treat food workers better. And I think fast food workers get the brunt of the poor treatment and that everyone could just relax on them a little bit because they're just trying to do the best that they can, right?
For sure. So, all right. Where can we find you?
Come and find me at Gertrude's, 605 Carlton in Prospect Heights. Come for dinner. Come for brunch.
All right.
And where can we find you online?
Oh, online at the Sussmans on Instagram.
Fantastic.
Memeing and talking shit until they throw me off the platform.
Or until you win that long overdue James Beard Award.
Oh, what a dream that would be. I can't wait to really insult them directly to their faces and
well,
their,
that's
in
the
their
validation
own
you've been looking for, right? That's why you're doing it.
I'm looking for something from San Pellegrino. I can't get them to give me an award if my life depends on it. Okay. So that's what I'm looking for.
Here's hoping someday.
Yeah.
Someday. Thanks. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Bye. Bye.